Chapter 13. Stacy lay on her back for a moment and caught her breath. She was still breathing. That was a good thing. The force of the impact upon hitting the ground had knocked the air out of her lungs, and it had really hurt. But oddly enough, the collision pain was the only pain she felt. She raised her hands in front of her face to confirm they weren't on fire. No sign of even the slightest burn. The carpet must have absorbed the fire damage like she was hoping it would. Upon impact, it had unrolled and spat her out like a watermelon seed. Aside from being a bit banged and bruised, Stacy felt like she'd made it through the ordeal completely unscathed. It could have been a lot worse. What the hell was Julian thinking to go charging full throttle at Julian? Stacy sat bolt upright and looked back up the road. The carpet was charred and smoking, as was Julian's body 10 yards beyond it. Ignoring her minor aches, she sprang like a cat over to Julian's side. The first thing she noticed was 2 hoofprints just in front of where Julian lay. The blast had left a perfect black circle of char on the road. Perfect, that is, except for these 2 prints, which were the road's natural color. From what she could deduce, it looked like the horse had reared up on its hind legs shortly before being completely vaporized by the explosion. It seemed unlikely that anything short of a nuclear bomb would be powerful enough to vaporize a horse. But then she thought back to the horse Julian had summoned back inside the poison control center, and how it had rapidly starved to death until it winked out of existence, and the current lack of a roasted horse body made some kind of sense. Julian's face and hands were splotched with second and third degree burns, but his chest was the hardest part to look at. The fabric of his robes had fused with his flesh. Stacy forced herself to look. His chest was moving, as were his eyelids, as if he were in REM sleep. He was alive. Stacy ran back to the carpet and retrieved her bag. She dumped it out on the ground next to Julian, looking for anything she could use to help treat his wounds. A first aid kit being too much to hope for, she picked up a canteen and a small cloth pouch. She unscrewed the canteen's cap, poured just a drop of the contents onto the back of her hand, then tasted it. Water. Good. She'd only picked up the pouch for the clean fabric, so she spilled the contents on the ground. A pile of 4-pronged metal doodads fell out. She would have compared them to jacks, but somehow she knew they were called caltrops. She also knew that, instead of being used in a game played by 6-year-old girls, they were meant to impale the feet of the owner's pursuers. Where this knowledge came from, she had no idea, as she'd never heard of any such thing before. She cringed at the thought. Having soaked the pouch with water, Stacy patted the burns on Julian's face. He twitched and moaned a little, but didn't wake up. "Come on, Julian, wake up!" She poured a little water on his forehead. "Please say something!" Julian groaned. "There you go," said Stacy. "Talk to me."
"Ravenous!"
Stacy sighed. "Seriously? The fucking bird again?" She continued applying water to his face and hands until the canteen was empty. He seemed stable enough, but his burns were just begging for infection. He needed some serious medical attention, and soon. Somehow, Stacy already knew that the magic had burnt out entirely from the carpet, but she still had to test it just to make sure. She sat on the scorched fabric and willed it up. It didn't comply. She pulled up on the burnt nubs of what used to be tassels, and the carpet lay still. Stacy assessed her situation. Shit! As stupidly strong as she was, she didn't think she'd be able to carry Julian all the way back to the city, and he might not survive all the jostling. The next best alternative was to place him on the carpet and drag him towards civilization. In its current condition, she dared not hope the carpet would survive being dragged all the way back to the city, but she had to work with what was available until the thing finally wore away to a useless burnt rag. As gently as she could, Stacy ran her arms under Julian's neck and knees and raised him forklift style. He let out a labored groan, but remained asleep. His head lolled back, and his arms hung limp. His body was so light. Stacy reasoned that elves have a more slender body style, and that she was much stronger than she was accustomed to being, but she couldn't shake the feeling that he was dying right there in her arms. "Come on, Stacy," she said to herself, willing the tears to hold their ground. "It probably looks worse than it is. You just need to keep your shit together. Get him to a healer. He'll be as good as new in no time." She wished she sounded more convincing. She laid him gently on the carpet and took a few deep breaths. When she felt she had her emotions in check, she lifted the front of the carpet by both corners and started to pull. The carpet moved about 6 inches before the tassels of both corners ripped off in her hands. Julian grunted as his torso landed with a thud. Her emotions were suddenly no longer under her control. Her cheeks became warm with tears as she began to sob. "No, no, no." More deep breaths. "Get a hold of yourself, Stacy. He's counting on you. You can do this because you're awesome. Of course the tassels came off. Why the hell were you dragging it by the tassels anyway?" She nodded, calmed herself, and grabbed the front of the carpet proper. She stayed hunched over at first, keeping the edge of the carpet low to the ground in case it ripped. But she wasn't going to be able to keep going like that for long, and the carpet felt like it was holding together okay, so she stood a little straighter. "Hang in there, Julian," she said. "You just rest easy. We're gonna get you all fixed up." She knew he couldn't hear her, but talking kept her distracted. "We'll find a wizard or something and brew you up a magic potion. You'll be back to your old self and..." Somewhere in the distance, in the direction she was headed, a dog barked. Shit. Stacy'd been so caught up in Julian's survival that it only now occurred to her that her own was by no means guaranteed. She was alone in the hostile wilderness of an unfamiliar world. What if she ran into another Sweetums? Not likely. The bark sounded like it came from a domestic breed, and Sweetums didn't strike her as a pet lover. That other elf guy they'd been traveling with had had a dog with him. It wasn't too much of a stretch to think they might have come looking for her and Julian. But then, that wasn't something she was going to bet their lives on. It might just as easily be bandits, rapists, or squid people for all she knew. She dragged Julian off the road, back near the site of the explosion, hoping that the overwhelming smell of char in the area would mask the scent of barbecued elf. It was a much bumpier ride once she went off the road. She cringed to herself as Julian's head bounced over roots and rocks. When he started groaning again, she knew she couldn't drag him any further into the woods. If he woke up now, he'd give away their position for sure. It wasn't a great hiding place by any stretch of the imagination, but a few strategically placed dead branches would be enough to shield Julian's body from a casual glance, at least. Once Stacy was done with Julian, she set to work choosing the best tree for her to hide behind based on concealment, observability, and ease of climbing. This final criterion was more for her hypothetical attackers than for herself. She was confident that she could scurry up any tree in the forest with one arm tied behind her back, but wanted to make it easy for her pursuers to follow her. She reasoned that if a person was really hell-bent over getting another person out of a tree, they had three options: chop it down, set it on fire, or climb up after them. By making the third option preferable to the time and effort involved with the first two, she would increase her odds of surviving the hypothetical battle. She'd have the advantage of higher ground and the probable advantage of a higher dexterity, which would likely count for more in a tree branch-based battle than it would on the ground. Additionally, she would negate the possibility of being surrounded by multiple attackers, forcing her adversaries to confront her one at a time. "Fuck, I'm smart," Stacy whispered to herself. This was some real Sun Tzu-type shit happening in her mind. And while she hoped it would all be unnecessary, she was also kind of eager to see how it played out. The dog's barking grew louder and more excited. They were close. Stacy drew the sword from the sheath on her back, squatted behind her chosen tree, and focused on the road. Part of her was a little disappointed when she made out the shape of a big shaggy sheepdog, identical to the one which accompanied the other elf in the party. Still, maybe it was just a popular breed. She continued to wait. "This is it," said the elf, as he, a human, and a dwarf caught up to the dog. He put his hand on the dwarf's shoulder. "I'm sorry, man." The dwarf shrugged the elf's hand away.
"Don't act like you know what happened here."
"It's obvious what happened here," said the elf. "I mean, don't get me wrong. They were the only ones in your group I actually kind of liked. I'm sorry to see them go, but we've got to face reality."
She and Julian being two exceptions to a mostly unlikable group, the evidence was piling up for these guys being from the Horse Head.
"I don't know, man," said the human. "It looks pretty cut and dried to me."
"Oh, please," said the dwarf. "After that CSI bullshit about severed owlbear arms and paladins."
"What the fuck is an owlbear?"
"This isn't the same," said the elf. "There's no mystery to solve here. This is OJ with a bloody knife in his hand. You said you saw a fireball in the sky. Our friends were in the sky. They obviously got hit by the fireball, fell to the ground, and got blasted with a second fireball. I don't care how tough they were, they didn't survive two fireballs and a fall from that height."
"Well, then where are the bodies?"
asked Probable Dave. Mentions of OJ and CSI had removed most of Stacy's remaining doubt, but after her tangle with the horseman, she couldn't be too careful.
"Now look over there! Are those hoof prints?"
Stacy suppressed a giggle as Dave waddled excitedly to the epicenter of the blast.
"If a horse was incinerated here, you can bet your ass that Julian was... Ow!"
Dave collapsed.
"What's wrong?"
asked Chaz, ducking low to the ground and scanning the trees.
"My fucking foot!"
cried Dave. Oops, Stacy had forgotten to pick up her caltrops. Time to come out of hiding.
"Hey, sorry guys, my bad."
"Stacy!" said Dave.
He glanced snidely at the elf guy before quickly turning back to her.
"Where's Julian? Is he okay?"
Stacy frowned.
"He's in bad shape. He took a direct hit from that fireball. You think you can heal him?"
Dave tossed away the caltrop he'd removed from his boot and unsteadily rose to his feet.
"I won't be able to pray for my spells until dawn."
"Are you, said the elf, "are you sure he's still alive?"
The question angered Stacy perhaps more than it should have.
"I'm not stupid. He's breathing. His heart's beating. I got him stabilized."
She walked over to where Julian was fitfully sleeping and kicked away the branches she'd concealed him with.
"Jesus Christ," said Chaz.
Dave and the elf averted their eyes. Stacy started to tear up again. Julian's face looked even worse than before. The water she had applied had completely evaporated, leaving his skin burnt, scabby, and dry.
"Dawn's only a couple hours away," the elf said somberly. "We'll camp here until then."